It's 100 years since the start of the First World War. How many, those of you who are in here, when we were out at the war memorial, we read a roll of honor. And it's long. That's all I'm going to say. And when you've read through your sixth or seventh Alvis, you realize that so many of those young men, and some women too, were just removed from their communities, never came back. The First World War, can anyone remember what date it started? 1914? Okay. I thought someone said 1919. That's when my mom was born. Okay. When did it finish? 1918. So it ran from 1914 to 1918. Just 4 years. That might seem like a long time to you, but it's really not that long. And the First World War was notable because so many people died in the First World War. What's hard for us to understand is at the start of the war, people expected it to just last a short period of time. In fact, there was initial enthusiasm to join up. People lied about their age, you could in those days, just to try and get through training quick enough to get to the front. And those people who volunteered at the beginning, the fewest of them ever got back. They actually chose to do it. Later on in the First World War, they started to bring in conscription, which is where you got a letter one day saying, report to the office and sign up. That's how it was in the Second World War too. And I know we've got members who are active in that, and they'll talk about how every 10th person went to the RAF. So they try and count the numbers and put themselves in where they could fly instead of be in the army. I have to say, the one person who tried that, it didn't work. So when we're out at the war memorial, we had a look at this verse. Bill Winning from Struthers Memorial read to us from John's Gospel. Greater love has no man that he give, lay down his life for his friends. You can't show your love any better than you give your life up for your friends. These words are from Jesus. They're written down by Jesus' best friend in a gathering where these people have realized that Jesus himself is at risk of being killed. And Jesus knows it. And he says this to them. Who here on their phone or their iPad, iPod, I don't know, tablet, whatever, has got any songs about love? Okay. You got any songs about love? Okay. Who in their scratchy vinyl collection that you used to listen to on your Decca speaker in the lid, record player with the swap side needle for when the other side wore out? Okay. How many of you got songs about love? Oh, yes. Let me quote a classic of English literature. Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please. Oh. Okay. Most of the songs that we sing about love are about love as a feeling. Yeah? Yeah? Anyone here in love at the moment? You can tell them by the silly grin on their face, the red rims around their eyes, and the fact they're not eating properly. It's true. Being in love, if you could be in love for 2 or 3 years, it would probably be classed as a terminal illness because it does funny things to you. We know love as a feeling. We know love as a feeling. You know that thing where you're feeling very warm and fluffy towards your brother or sister and you're really nice to them? Some of you go, no. Or do you know when you get home from school and your mom's tidied your room? Oh, I can hear that. Mom's to hear that, okay? And then just as you're going, oh, you think, uh-oh, I'm going to meet the person who did this, and they might not be best pleased because they just spent 2-3 hours shifting my stuff around. So we know about love as a feeling, right? But let me tell you this. Love is about choices. Choices. You know what choices are about? Do you have a hamburger, cheeseburger, or chicken nugget Happy Meal? That's a choice, right? Do I have a Happy Meal or do I have an adult meal? That's a choice. It's a choice your parents don't appreciate, I must admit, because it makes going to McDonald's a lot more... Oh, never mind. We'll get that out of the way at some other point. But love's about choices. Let me explain. See, when you're not feeling warm and fluffy towards your brother or sister, but you still choose to be nice to them, that's a choice, right? When someone drives you nuts and you choose to be kind to them, that's a choice. When you choose to do the tough thing that you don't want to do instead of the easy thing that you do want to do because it's going to benefit someone else, that's a choice. Most of love is about choices. It really is. It's about choices. Who do you give the best of your time to? Who do you give a hug to? Who do you wave to? Who do you smile at? Who do you help out? Who makes sure you didn't lose your sookie? Oh, that could be devastating. Isn't it funny with those things, you don't look after them until you lose them? Where's my blanket? I have a line in my house, your blanket is your responsibility. They call them. It's news to me. Love's about choices. There's one, if I see the blanket sitting somewhere, then often what I'll do is I'll pick it up and stick it on their bed so they won't lose it. They don't even know it was me. But love's about choices. Love is about choices. How many people here have got songs about love as a choice on their devices? Not many, right? Not many. I dare you, go through your love song collection and see how many of them talk about love as a choice. Not many people write a ditty that says, I was feeling rather cross with you, but I thought I would see things through and tidy up a room for you because I love you. I didn't like the way you looked at me today. In fact, it made me want to run away. But I'll find something nice to say because I love you. Yeah? You don't get many songs like that, do you? No, because that's the tough side of love. That's the side of love that actually makes a marriage work or is good work in a friendship, or it means you can love your children even when you didn't like them. Very much. Love's a choice. Here's the thing. Like I said, many of those people, young people, teenagers, many of them, chose to go fight. And then as news started to come back, how awful it was in the First World War, people were conscripted because the number of volunteers started to tail off. It's nice to have an assistant. Oh, I've turned this off. Here we go. This is the war memorial at the car park in Gore Bridge. And there's a roll of honor for those who fell who were part of Temple Parish out there, which will just remind you how many people used to live in the Temple area, how many people used to work. In the old days, you had one person, one farm worker per acre. That's about one worker, 1,000 acres. It's completely different. But these people laid down their lives. And behind every single one of those names, there's a really sad story. Maybe some of them died heroically. Maybe some of them didn't. Some of them didn't even know it had happened to them. Lost in a shell burst or caught by a sniper, they didn't even know. Some of them died in training. Some of them died for all the complications that come from being in and around the war. And to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the start of the First World War, little ceramic poppies have been planted in the grounds of the Tower of London. So here's a picture of them. Does anybody know how many poppies have been planted? Very, very good. 880,000. 888,246 poppies, each poppy representing the life of a British or Commonwealth soldier or reservist or airman or naval person who lost their life in the First World War in 4 years. So you divide that by four and you realize that that's 222,000 a year. 222,000 a year. And then you figure out how many that is in a day. Some of the saddest stories in the British Armed Services stem from the First World War, the First Battle of the Somme, where 20,000 dead in the first day, the largest loss of life in British military history. And Lord knows, we hope it will remain that. And this sea of poppies is like a sea of blood. I believe the public are going to have an opportunity to buy them. And the proceeds from each poppy will go to support Help for Heroes and the Royal British Legion as they work with people who've survived. And so we commemorate the 100th anniversary. I just want to change tack a bit here to get back to what Jesus was saying about greater love no one has than they lay their life down for their friends. And here's a badge which has been made to commemorate. It says, "Lest We Forget," on the banner underneath, 1914 to 2014. And in this, there are poppies. But there's also, what else is in that badge? There's a cross. Where do you find crosses? Anyone wearing one today? Okay. You find them in jewelry. Where else do you find crosses? In a church, yep. You find them on top of churches. It's crosses in that flag. Three of them, to be precise. Here's the crosses in a French war cemetery. Each one of them marking the place where someone who died is buried. Crosses. What is it about the cross? Well, here's the thing. See, when Jesus said, "Greater love is no one than they lay their life down for their friends," and we can see that working out as people volunteered for King and Country. Whatever our thoughts are about whether that was a good idea or not, there's some courage there. And for anyone who has ever stepped into a difficult situation to help you out, Jesus said, "There's no greater love than that." But the thing is, as Jesus was chatting with his friends, he wasn't just talking about things in general. He wasn't casting out a theory. He wasn't giving them just a way to think about things. He was talking about himself. Because the sign of the cross is actually, if you were a Roman citizen, the symbol of the cross would have sent a chill through your spine. It was the most horrible way. It was devised for the worst criminals. It was a symbol of torture and suffering and pain and death and shame. So how come this symbol has come to mean so much to us as a culture? And it's because of this. Because greater love has no man than he lays his life down for his friends. Jesus was talking about the fact that he laid his life down, not just for his friends gathered around the table, but for his friends in all parts of the world throughout history, for every single person who lost their lives in the First World War and the Second World War and all the subsequent conflicts in the Suez and Aden and in Cyprus, in the Falklands, in Northern Ireland, in Afghanistan and Iraq. Every single person Jesus died for, and every single one of us. And the cross is a symbol of hope because it says to us that God can take the most horrible means of killing someone, go through it himself, come bouncing out the grave, and stick all the wickedness and horror and suffering and sickness of this world into the grave, and then say, "There is hope. Death is not the end. War is not the end. All of the wickedness that the enemy can throw at us is not the end. The end is in hope and in love and in Jesus, and we see that in the symbol of the cross. So we know the people who love us nearby. Does your mom love you? Does she? I really hope so. She must have loved you to buy you that fab outfit. Does your mom love you? And those in and around, some of you are here with moms or dads, some of you are here with kinship carers, some of you are here with friends, some of you are here. There's just so many people in our lives who can give us love. And it's a wonderful thing to be loved. But here's the thing, whether we know it or not, Jesus' love for us is even more amazing. And every time you see a cross, I want you to think about that. And his hope is that each of us will discover that for ourselves. No one has greater love than they lay their life down for their friends. Two amazing things. One, Jesus laid his life down for you out of love. Two, he wants to be your friend. And that's all I've got to say about that. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for your love. We see it in Jesus, that you love the world so much that you gave your Son, that whoever believes in him won't die, won't disappear from being, but will have everlasting life. For you didn't send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And I pray for every person here, every family, every organization, that your hand, your blessing will be on all of us. And we pray that we would know that love for ourselves. We give you thanks so much for all the people that love us. But I pray that every person gathered here would come to know that you love them too, and that your love's the greatest, and that you already have laid down your life for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's close in worship, shall we?